I'm Melissa Melnick, and I am the pastor intern at Jacob's Well, and I'd like to welcome all of you here this morning. And today, we're talking about politics. Really, just kidding, but I thought if I told you we were talking about politics before I told you we were talking about money, that would make money sound really good. Did that work? Good. We are going to be talking about money today, and as you have all heard, the elections have been a lot about money. And so sometimes I actually don't watch commercial TV or listen much to commercial radio, but even listening to NPR or something, I'm tired of politics. I'm tired of the money talk. Sometimes I think about these politicians as three-year-olds in the sandbox. Do you ever think of them like that? So they're in the sandbox, and they're arguing about money, and then they get you into the sandbox, too, right along with them. And so they get you to think that, ooh, there are all these things that I want. You want all these things. And then what you want becomes what you need to have. Right? And so then you have all these things that you want and all these things that you need. And then we really go back to childhood and we start thinking about not only do you need these things and want these things, but they're mine! They're my things! Right along with the politicians there. And so so we've been hearing a lot about money and politics in the last few months. And so if you're tired of it, I just wanted to show you a little clip of another young girl who's pretty tired of it, too.
That's because I'm tired of Barack Obama and Mitt Romney.
That's why you're crying? Oh, it'll be over soon, Abby. Okay? The election will be over soon, okay?
Okay.
Anybody feel like that? And have you had enough of all of this election stuff? Well, hopefully not quite yet, because I hope you will all go out and vote on Tuesday, because it's really important that you do that. One of the other things about all this politics is that maybe it's good that we start talking about money. Because you have been forced now, I would think, unless you're completely out of all of our society, pretty much, you've been forced to think about money and what is enough money, and what you should do with the money that you have, and then what should you do about the money that you feel like you don't have. So politics this year have made us think about this, but after all, one of the things that sometimes we forget about is to think about whose money is it anyway. Is it mine or yours, the government's? Whose money is it? And of course, you all work hard for the money and the things that you do have. We know that. So we're going to be talking really about money today. And when I told you we were going to be talking about money, how many of you groaned inwardly or even out loud? Anybody? Because talking about money is not always very fun. So even as I prepared to give my message today, I went to meet with John Lumens and talk to him about my own budget. And as you heard in the welcome today, you will all have the opportunity to meet with John Lumens if you'd like to. We have budget workshops coming up, and I'd encourage you to do that. Now, I'll confess that when I went to see John Lumens, I'm kind of driving up there and, of course, arriving late and thinking, oh, great, I get to go talk about my budget. Yay. And so having to sit down and talk about a credit report and budgeting, let's just say it's not on my bucket list. Anyone have that on theirs? But I did it anyways. And so this might be more of what I was feeling when I went in. Well, that's John. And I think there's a little cartoon slide up there. So I was worried that John might say something like, well, I suggested debt repayment plan and less spending, but I really want that Mercedes. I was really hoping I could just stop drinking lattes or something. I didn't know you drink lattes. Well, I don't. So It's rather ironic that I'm up here talking about budgets and money because I have made many budgets over my lifetime. And so we'll talk about that a little later. But for right now, I want you to think about how you think about money. And so on your Sunday paper, and for those of you who are new with us this morning, you'll see on the Sunday paper you have an outline. And I've asked you to think, when you think about money, how do you see yourself? And circle one or two or whichever one of these applies. So do you think of yourself as a saver, a spender, a procrastinator, a realist? Are you an avoider who avoids talking about money altogether? Or an ostrich, as Dawn mentioned last week? Are you an abstract expressionist who thinks of money in some way that nobody else understands? Or do you just really not know how you think about money? It's just something out there. So we know there are a lot of different ways to think about money. And in church, we tend to shy away from even talking about money. And yet, in spite of that, we think it's really important here at Jacob's Well that we do talk about money and that we talk about money in a way that is helpful for all of us. And as you know, when we talk about money, money's just a part of it. We're not only talking about money, right? Because money involves feelings. And so for some people, even the mention of a budget or money might give you kind of this gripping in your stomach or cause some anxiety. And so so we're talking about that today. Now, some of you might be here this morning and saying, but in church? Really? Is church the place we want to talk about money at Jacob's Well? Because God knows most of the time we don't want to talk about money. But it is important. And we're here to talk about money for our series because too often we feel like we're broke, right? We even use that word when we're talking about what it feels like when we don't have money. We're broke. And so instead of having a healthy view of money and what we should do with the money, remembering where it comes from and whose it really is, we are burdened and chained to money. Money's controlling us rather than us controlling money. And so even though we don't always want to talk about money, we're going to take that deep breath and talk about money this morning. And even when we shy away from talking about money, Jesus didn't. Jesus talked about money a lot, and Jesus' followers in the Bible talked about money a lot. They talked about saving money and spending money and what we do with our money when we have it. They talked about who money really belongs to and how we are to use money. And one of the places where money is talked about is in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, which says, the point is this, the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. So, what does Paul mean by this, and what does it have to do with our own budget? Well, let me start by saying one thing that this is not. This is not what sometimes is called prosperity gospel. And some of you may have heard that term before, and in some churches that's a lot about what they talk about, where you give, and if you give because you'll get something back. And that's not what I'm saying this morning, because I don't think that that's what this says at all. And so it's not saying that if you give, you're going to all of a sudden become rich, or you're going to get that high-paying executive job or that Mercedes that you want to get. That's not what this is all about. Paul is also not saying that you will always be a cheerful giver. I mean, that would be great, but not so realistic in our time. But he does say you must give as you have made up your mind. as you've made up your mind. And making up your mind should come from cheerfulness and not reluctance. Okay, and that's a hard thing to do. And much easier said than done. So there are some really important things that the text does say. And again, on your Sunday outline, you'll see this. One is that God is extravagantly generous. Okay, God is extravagantly generous. And by extravagantly, I mean that here on this earth, we do have everything here provided for us. It doesn't always seem that there is enough, but there is. And so sometimes you might feel like you don't have enough. Sometimes you might spend extravagantly or waste extravagantly. But really, there's enough here. And you might have a really hard time now because you've lost your job, you have medical expenses, you have student loans to pay. That is all very much a part of our life. But even that being said, when you feel like you don't have enough, God provides. And so by generous, I mean that God has given to you all of what you have. God has given to you this green earth that we live on. And there is also much more to generosity than just money. So here in these Bible verses, you're promised that God's generosity is for you and God will provide for you. And God's love is so big. It's not this little tiny love. It's this big love. And so God provided even God's son to live among us. That's how generous, how extremely and extravagantly generous God is. So there are times when you forget about that extravagant generosity, right? There are times where you forget that what is yours isn't really yours, it's God's. It was given to you to bless others, to bless you and to bless your others. And you also forget that what is yours, again, isn't really yours, and it's meant to share. And you don't share because you get more, right? At least that's not the idea of really what sharing is. There are times that you're going to see this great big plasma TV that your neighbor just bought, and like, ooh, I want that. Or the Prius that your neighbor has parked outside in front of their lawn, you're going to think, I want that. Or you think of your time and your money and your relationships, and they're all mine. Because you forget sometimes. Now, I'm not saying that those things aren't great, because they can be really great, and they can be a part of how you decide to use your money. But what happens when you start to think that that's all yours and that you deserve it, sometimes you forget what that money really is all about, and you start to buy things, right? And you buy lots of things, and all of a sudden, you have lots of things. And then it's a little harder to share because the house is full of things, and that's where the money is. Or sometimes you need to have that latte every day. And so, again, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. We all have our things that we like to spend our money on. But remember that a spiritually wise person knows that frivolous consumption can corrupt the soul. Corrupts the soul. So as we know, and we talked about a little bit about last week, many people are in debt. They're paying for a cup of coffee that they bought yesterday for 5 years into the future. Right? It's crippling debt. But there is a different way to think about budgeting and money and debt. And so today I'm asking you to think about God's extravagant generosity and what that means for you and the decisions that you make about how you spend money. And also, when you have lots of debt, about what it means to work to get out of that debt so that you can also remember that we do have enough and that we can also share generously. So, and to share that cheerfully. So think about this for just a minute. Budgeting has more to do with what's in your heart and with your values than what's in your bank account. Okay? So you may or may not have a budget. Like I said, I've had budgets and not budgets and followed them and not followed them. Been all over the place with that. And I won't ask you this morning to raise your hand if you have a budget. So that's good news too, probably. But it's important to have a budget. And one of the things we're inviting you to do is make a budget, because it's really important, first of all, that you realize how you're spending your money and that you think about how your values and your trust in God providing influences how you spend your money. So a budget helps you to control your money, not the other way around. It helps you feel like you're not broke. It gives you freedom to share in that generous, that extravagant generous that you have been given. So when we begin to have faith that God will provide, we can actually think about money in a way that comes from a sense of thankfulness for what we do have, and even a sense of joy about how we can share what we have. So it's not about how much money you have or don't have. I think all of us in our lives, there are times when we have a good income and a lot of money, and there are times when we don't necessarily have such a good income or a lot of money. So how you spend your money depends on your values and your priorities. So this morning, I'm asking you to think about what are your values and how does that affect the priorities that you make when you're spending. So let's, today, I'm going to introduce you to Willie and Lorene. And just imagine the new pastor intern calls up or sends an email. Hi, Willie and Lorene. Would you mind talking about money here at Jacob's Well on Sunday morning? So they got that email, and they were very gracious, and they said, sure. Well, at least to me. So they're going to come up and talk to us a little bit this morning. And I just want you to know, when we met the other day, we talked for quite a while about budgeting and money, and so we're going to try to compress our conversation into just a short period of time so that they can share some of their story with all of us. So, like I said, we talked for quite a while the other night, and we're going to talk about one small part of a conversation that we had. And so the question that I'm asking them this morning, and so you know I did share the question with them, the answer will be... They're not memorized or anything. They're not TV actors, and this is not a commercial. So I'm asking you this morning to talk a bit about how careful decisions that you have made, along with the ways in which you have been blessed by generosity of others, have allowed you to be generous in your lives and what that means for you.
Well, it was a really great conversation and helpful for us to talk to you on Friday. And I think the foundation for us is that we were really lucky to both grow up in families where there were tight budgets, but also sort of a philosophy about being careful with spending and coupon clipping. We both of us have parents who are queens and kings of coupon clipping and bargain shopping. And so I think we grew up in an environment where we had limited resources and learned about being careful with the funds that were available. And so that sort of carried us each into our adulthood. And I think along the way, we've always been sort of mindful of being careful with resources and thinking about priorities and what's important to spend money on, and also thinking about saving for the future. I remember the year I graduated from college, my dad talked with me about starting an IRA and like retirement planning, and sort of, he's a mathematician, so he like laid out the joys of compound interest and like how my $1,000 now could be, you know, $100,000 when I retired. So I think that we were very fortunate to grow up with that sort of philosophy and value around saving and preparing for the future and really being mindful of the money that's in our control and that we have responsibility towards. So, you know, we got married a little bit later in life, in our mid-30s, and started a family several years after that. And so we sort of came into our marriage together with resources, I think, that we realize we're fortunate to be in that position. So now we're in a place where through those years of saving and through those years of being careful with our funding, we're able to be generous to a new level in the community, which is very important to us.
And I just think, you know, as we, you know, in our life decisions, and it goes back to the, you know, what's our values versus what's in your bank account. I mean, both of us, you know, we're fortunate enough to be able to go to college. And even going to college, we didn't have a lot of debt because I was in the, you know, I was in the military, so the military paid for my college. But when we both graduated from college, we didn't make tons of money coming out of college. Lorene worked in nonprofit. I worked in the military, so those are not the most lucrative jobs that many people have, even coming out of college. But it was enough for us at the time. And, you know, I think early on in our careers, at the time, we were fortunate enough, like we said, we were at the time both single. We were able to save during that period of time and be within our, you know, budgets at that time, such that it helped us prepare during our whole lives. And even those decisions about what jobs we took, right, in nonprofit and the military, came from our values, not about, you know, how much money we could make in that career that we chose. So it all kind of intertwines in terms of the decisions you make in your life, tied to money or not tied to money, more tied to the values that you have.
And we talked a little bit, too, even as we all know, the holidays are coming up, and so one of the things that we struggle with is Christmas, right, and Christmas presents and how much to spend and what to give. And so you talked a little bit about how you decide about gift giving, even among your family.
Yeah. And I can't remember when it started, but both of us have volunteered our time through our adult life to nonprofits and causes that meant a lot to us. And so when we didn't have the financial resources, we gave of our time. And then sometime in the last probably 5-6 years, we started at birthday times and holidays to make donations to organizations that we thought would mean something to people in our family. So for our parents, our church in Cleveland had a book drive so that every child in one of the elementary schools in Cleveland would have a book at the holidays. And so we bought books and donated that and, you know, told our parents that it was on behalf of, in honor of you, we've made these donations for the holidays for the children. My aunt and uncle are affiliated with an organization that does horse therapy, riding therapy. And my niece is crazy about horses. And so for her birthday, we make a donation to that organization and let our niece know that we've made a donation in honor of her birthday to this organization. So I think that we've, you know, tried to incorporate that notion of giving. And now a lot of other people in our family actually have started to do the same for holidays and anniversaries and for birthdays.
And Billy, I'm going to put you on the spot just a little bit, not too much, hopefully. But you mentioned a time that you were in debt for not such a long time. But would you talk a little bit about how that felt and how that felt to? I'm going to ruin the punchline. He got out of debt. But would you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I was in debt short period of time when I was in the military, and it really, in terms of kind of emotionally, it was a burden, right? It's always hanging over you. You're always thinking about it, and it becomes something that that kind of is a cloud hanging over you. And I'm, you know, very, very, feel very, very fortunate that I'm, you know, neither Lorena or I have any consumer debt at this point. So, and for, you know, basically the last 10 years or so. But It's just a burden. It's just like this albatross hanging over your neck when you're in debt. So it just affects your mood. It affects, you know, your just well-being, I think, overall. So it just really was a stressful time, I would say, that I know a lot of people go through, even for a longer period of time than the, you know, 18 months or so that I had a fairly large debt.
And so we all know that there are times, like I said, there are times in our lives when we have more and when we have less. And so one of the things, one of the reasons we're even talking about budgeting is because so many of us are in debt, and that is a burden. And when we're able to work through that debt with help of others and the generosity of others and trusting in God's generosity, it helps us move through that. Not always easy, mostly not easy. But one of the things to remember is that there is enough for everybody. Now, we don't always divide it evenly and maybe even justly among all of us, but it's there. And we're going to end this part here. I've asked Willie, he told us a story about happiness that I think really applies to how we think about money, that you used to talk about on the ship, right, that you were on?
So I was on a submarine in my time in the military and the Navy, and a submarine is a very, very tight-knit community. But you know, a lot of times when you're underways, things are tough, right? It's not necessarily the greatest environment to run around in, or, you know, being underwater for months at a time is somewhat stressful. So we always joked around in jest that there's a, you know, just like we're all all U.S. submarines are nuclear powered, so we're all these, you know, engineers or, you know, wannabe engineers. And we developed this theory around the law of finite happiness, right? Which meant there's only so much happiness on the submarine to go around. So in order for you to have more happiness, you have to make everyone around you more miserable so you can retain that happiness. Obviously, that was in jest. But so the big picture was there's enough happiness to go around for everyone in the end of the day. So,
well, thank you so much for sharing part of your story. Give him one more round of applause. Thanks again. And so, you know, it's a lot to talk about and a lot to think about. And I think their story illustrates just how much having a healthy financial plan can really help us out. And I'm going to share a little story with you because, in all honesty, I have not always been quite so careful with my money. And so some of you probably know this, but before going to seminary, I was a teacher for a long time. And so as a teacher, I had a lot of education, a lot of years of teaching, and so my salary was pretty good. I had, for income, good income. But at the time, I didn't necessarily use that income in a wise way. So we, as a family, decided, oh, we need this, and we need that, and we want this, and we want that. And we didn't always spend within our means. And I know that we didn't always spend within our means for a couple reasons. One is because we did end up with some debt. And two, because when I moved recently, I had closets. Even I had gone through things, but I still had closets with lots of junk in there that was dusty and broken. And so obviously it was something that I didn't really need. And so so I can tell you that I didn't always make the best decisions. And then I decided, but I still did make a lot of my own choices, of course. And one of the choices I made was to stop teaching, and I decided to go into real estate for a while, so I was self-employed. And then I got sick, heart problem, which is fine now. But for a while, I couldn't work. And I know there are many that have problems because of healthcare issues, right? Can't pay for your healthcare, maybe you can't work. And so there's that financial debt that affects so many people. And so we put stuff on credit cards, clawed our way out of that, and then we had some money again and still didn't necessarily use it in a really healthy way for our family. And then things changed in my life, and my marriage broke up, and I said, wow. So, I'm a student, and I've got a whole family change. And what to do about that, because of the decisions that I had made previously, left me a little tenuous. And I know some of you are in situations like that, too, and that was my doing. right? But I actually things changed then, because somebody's generosity, I got a scholarship, and part of the scholarship meant that I talked to a financial coach, and through this financial coach, things started to finally click for me, right? Instead of thinking about what I would buy, and then maybe my donations would be right down here at the bottom after I spent everything I wanted to spend, things changed. And even though I had less money, still have less money, I feel like and felt like I had more. Not more money, but just more. Like I had enough. And that's the reason I'm sharing this story with you today, is because things changed. Made some hard choices and thought about what my values are. And so instead of thinking about my donations and my sharing as a last peripheral thing, all of a sudden I started, I don't know how, started to trust and realize that I do have enough and that what I have is not mine, but it's to share. And so even, and also that I didn't have to do it alone. Right? I had to make hard decisions, but there are lots of people to help out. And so on our website this week, too, we'll put up some resources and things like that, the budgeting workshop. We'll talk about getting out of debt, because there are some really significant things that you can do to help with that. And I don't want to tell you that this is something that you have to do, that this is something that will get you money back, because the generosity is not necessarily with money, right? It's that feeling of having enough and the freedom to be able to make decisions based on your values and priorities. And I'm sharing this with you not because I've done some great or extraordinary thing, but because things have changed and it provides a freedom, and I think it's just really an incredible thing that can happen. When you start looking at your budget and turning things upside down and start reflecting on the values that you have and the trust and trusting in God, you can start giving with cheerfulness. And it's not always easy, but you can do it. So a couple more things. On your Sunday paper, you'll see some steps to financial freedom. And so number one is trust. Trust that God provides. God tells us God provides. And it's true. Doesn't always feel like that. Don't always trust 100%, but really, God provides. And number two, prioritize. So trusting that God provides and thinking about your values, prioritize how you're going to spend your money. Be realistic as part of that, but start with your priorities. Three, promise to spend less than you earn. Hard one. but promise that to yourself. Fourth, pay off your consumer debts. And those of you who have or have had consumer debts know that it is a burden. And once you can really work towards paying that off, you're not necessarily going to pay it off tomorrow. It might take some time. It might take some sacrifice along the way. But it really does give you some freedom to do things with your money and your time based on your priorities and your values. Five, create a budget. And again, think about all those different parts of the budget. They all work together. They're all part of that trust and priorities and values that we start with. And number six, learn what the Bible has to say about money. So even though we don't often like to talk about money in church, it is really important, and it's in a lot of places in the Bible. The Bible has a lot to say about that. Maybe you'll talk about that if you go to Group Life Group this week. But there are so many things that we can learn as we study the Bible. And you'll see a little picture of a cookie on your Sunday paper as well. So sometimes we go in thinking about a budget with trepidation, and it's so scary. But think of it like a cookie, right? It doesn't have to be all bad news. When we start with trust, we start with certain ingredients and a little bit of sugar in that. It's going to be great. It will provide some freedom for you. So I leave you with this morning. The last verse of the text of the part that we read from the Bible today says, "Thanks be to God for God's indescribable gift." God's love and grace come to us as a free gift, no strings attached. And because of God's indescribable gift shown to us most clearly through God's Son, Jesus, we show love and grace and bounty to those around us. And through this giving of ourselves, our time, our money, and our relationships, we give thanks to God for all that we have, because we know that all that we have is God's. So thanks be to God for God's indescribable gift. Let's pray. Bountiful God, we know that I know that we are all in very different places with our time and our money. We also know that it's hard for us to trust that you will provide, but you tell us you do, and we know that you do. Your love is all around us. Please help us as we start to think about our priorities and about how we can share our money and be generous just as you are generous with us. All this we pray in your name. Amen.